Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner, and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. I hope everyone is doing well, inshallah. I hope everyone is having a good, solid week so far. First week of September, right? I mean, alhamdulillah, this pandemic is, although it's obviously a grueling struggle, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to at least see a little bit of time go through it and kind of improvement, alhamdulillah, overall. I believe today, actually, I remember I read an article that Texas finally became like an orange state rather than a red state. Red meaning like it's just awful, terrible. You're in a horrible situation in terms of the pandemic numbers and statistics. And so Texas just today, alhamdulillah, became, I believe, became qualified as like a lesser degree of emergency in terms of its COVID numbers and statistics and stuff like that. So alhamdulillah, there's always something good that comes after weeks and months and even, you know, half a year of struggle. So may Allah allow it to get easier and easier for us. That way we can kind of open our community back up to everybody in person, live, and be able to serve the community in a live capacity, inshallah. So welcome to the 5 Series. Obviously, for those of you who are brand new to the 5 Series, this is a series that's covering the foundational pillars of Islam and also the pillars of Iman, the pillars of belief, the pillars of faith. And today, really, really beautifully, you know, we are going to be covering something that is a part of the knowledge we called Ilm al-Ghayb. Ilm al-Ghayb in Arabic means the knowledge of the unseen, okay? And today is going to be one of the most interesting, kind of detailed, really, really, I would say, abstract sessions that we're going to be hosting here at Roots. Because today, it's about the belief in the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are the angels? What are they? Are they what we have been told growing up? Are they different? What are they made out of? What are they supposed to do? What is their role in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kingdom? What are they supposed to be doing? What are their responsibilities? And then at the end of it, obviously we are human beings created in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kingdom. So what is our relationship with angels? What do they do for us? What role do the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala play in our lives? And so we're going to be answering all those questions as we go along today. So the first question is, and I'm going to type it in, inshallah, in our chat box here on Instagram Live. The question is, what are some of the descriptions that we have heard about angels? And I'm going to pin this for everybody like I usually do, so we can together reflect over this, so we can kind of grow and learn together and also reflect together. So what are some of the descriptions of the Malaika that you have heard of? What are some of the descriptions of angels that you have heard of growing up? And obviously today, what we're going to be doing really interestingly is going to be a little bit of it's going to be a little bit of truth, factual, you know, reality versus what we've heard culturally and what we've heard growing up. So I'm going to type it on Facebook as well. What are some of the descriptions of angels that we have heard? And so this is going to be a really cool way to kind of reflect together. So somebody already said made of light. Okay, very good. What are the angels made out of first and foremost? Are they made out of clay and earth like we are? Or are they made out of something different? Somebody said they're made out of light. Very good. Let's reflect here more. What are some more descriptions of angels that we've heard of? Nur, very good. Nur is the terminology that we use for light. It's not necessarily light that we find here on this earth. It's actually light that is otherworldly almost, right? The Nur we describe as very, very divine light almost, right? Divinely inspired light. Somebody else said sinless, made to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very good. Very, very good. That, you know, angels are described as beings who have one job and one job only, which is to worship Allah perfectly. They are perfect beings, right? So these are some of the reflections I want to share with everybody today. And hopefully we can all kind of reflect on this together. So number one, what are angels? Who are they? First and foremost, okay? There is a verse in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly refers to the belief in the angels. And one of the most foundational things that I want everyone to kind of first and foremost internalize is that the belief in the angels is actually a pillar of our faith. It's a pillar of Iman. There are six pillars of Iman. I'm trying to like find it on my finger. Six pillars of Iman. And one of the pillars of Iman is the belief in the angels. And because that pillar is true, it means that a part of Islam is believing in the unseen, right? Allah Ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil-Muttaqin Alladhina Yu'minuna Bil-Ghaybi, right? That the people who are muttaqin, the people who have taqwa, Alladhina Yu'minuna Bil-Ghaybi, they believe in the unseen. That there's a lot of things in Islam that are unseen. I mean, first and foremost, the concept of God is unseen, right? And we talked about this a little bit on Monday when we spoke about the idea of books, right? We talked about the idea of the Quran, that there are elements in our faith that are not going to be visually available for our sight, right? We're not going to be able to see it, but we can feel it, okay? And the angels are under that category. That the angels of Allah, the malaika, right? Malaika in Arabic means angels, plural. Malak means an angel, singular. And so the belief in angels is something that falls under the realm or category of ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen or the belief in the unseen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the messenger believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, as do the faithful. That the messengers of Allah, they all believe exactly what Allah has revealed to them, and so do the faithful people, okay? كُلٌّ آمَنَ. And all of them, all of the believers, they have believed, kullun amana billahi, they believe in Allah wa malaikatihi, and they believe in the angels of Allah. Okay, so Allah mentions right after the belief in Allah, belief in the angels of Allah, wa kutubihi, and his book, wa rusulihi, and his messengers. Okay, and so believing in the angels is a foundational component of being a Muslim, that you have to believe that angels exist, right? And so now we're going to talk about exactly who these angels are. So now we know that angels, believing in the angels is a foundational pillar of our faith. And so now we have to figure out and unfold what these angels are and what do they do, okay? There's a really, really beautiful, beautiful narration from the life of Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She narrated in a hadith that her husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said that angels were created from light. Okay, angels are created from light. We believe that different beings, different creations of Allah are here from different things, right? So the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions that the angels were created from light. Jinn were created from a smokeless flame, okay? Jinn are created from a smokeless flame. They are created from fire, but it's not fire that we know of or we see here today. They are created from a flame, a smokeless flame that we have no knowledge of on this earth. It's not like you go to your fireplace and you're like, oh God, jinn, right? It's not like you go like see like a fire, a bonfire going on, people hang around a fire and they're like worshiping a jinn. No, that's not true. The hadith describes this fire as a smokeless fire. It's not something that you can find on this earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the jinn with. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, and Adam was created from that which you have already been told, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already described the making of Prophet Adam alayhi salam in the Quran. So what is Adam made out of? What are we made out of? We're made out of clay. We're made out of earth. Right? We're made out of these different elements. We're made out of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes salsalin kalfakhar, which means like this type of mud or dirt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Prophet Adam alayhi salam. And so obviously he's created us from that same element. But the angels, the malaika, they are created from light. They are created from this luminous light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for them to be made up of. Now, because of this, and we all know that light, sometimes nur, is synonymous with Allah Ta'ala, right? There's a narration that someone, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was traveling through the heavens, Isra wal Mi'raj, with, ironically, Angel Jibril, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the presence of Allah, right, Angel Jibril couldn't even go that far up. And the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he was in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, which Angel Jibril said that if I go past this level, Ya Rasulullah, I will basically be destroyed. Like the angel Jibril, the archangel Gabriel, he couldn't even go past a certain level in the heavens. Otherwise, he would like be basically destroyed and disintegrate into nothing. And the Prophet is able to go past that area, which is kind of alluding to the honor and the status of the Prophet. And when the Prophet was in the presence of Allah himself, it was said that there was a veil of light between Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he fell into sajda right away in the presence, in the awe-inspiring presence of God himself. Now, because of this, because nur and light is very much synonymous with Allah, a lot of people, they take this kind of narration, or a lot of other religions, you would say, take this type of narration and these types of pieces of knowledge, and they basically say that the angels are the children of God, right? That the angels themselves are the children of Allah because they are so like they're so divine, right? Angels are so luminous, they're so divine, they're created from light, they're very angelic, very beautiful, that they must have some sort of divinity to them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually clarifies. He clarifies in the Quran that angels have no sort of relationship familiarly with him. Because we already discovered, we already talked about this and already uncovered that قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never been born, nor does he give birth, nor does he have children. Okay, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually also in the Quran, he clarifies this. He clarifies this by saying in the Quran, he says that, some of them say, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ رَحْمَانٌ وَلَدًا. That, oh my goodness, Allah has taken upon, the merciful has taken a son or a daughter or a child. But you answer, subhanahu, exalted is he, subhanallah. No, that's not true. بَلْ عِبَادٌ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ, that rather they are honored servants. بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ, that they are honored servants of Allah. لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ. They say that they heed him in word and they act by his command. That angels are not the children of God, rather, بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ, that rather they are honored servants of Allah. لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, they cannot precede him in word, meaning that they cannot say anything unless Allah says it already. The angels are not allowed to have free will. This is actually a part of the belief in angels, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them to literally do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to do. We are very different than that, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave human beings and jinn this idea of free will, this idea of like freedom in terms of choice, in terms of what we do. And so the angels are not created with that. The angels are perfect because we call perfection anything that Allah literally tells you to do, you do exactly that, right? Anything Allah tells you do exactly that. We are not that. We're not that, right? You and me sitting here at home or wherever you are at work or at a friend's house, you and me are imperfect beings. There's actually a narration that says that if you were to be created perfectly, you would have been created an angel, right? But you're not. You're created human being, insan. Okay, but the angels, لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ, and they do not precede him in word, and they act according to his commands. They do exactly what they are told to do. So now we know two things, that the angels, or three things, I guess, that the angels, belief in the angels is a part of our faith. It's a part of our iman. Number two is that they're created from light. They are created from light. They're not created from fire. They're not created from earth or sand or clay like we are. They're created from light. And another thing we know now is that the angels are actually not the any sort of relationship with Allah. They have no familial relationship with God. Rather, they are honored servants. Honored servants. عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ. They are honored, dignified, noble servants of Allah. And they cannot precede him in word. They cannot do anything that Allah Ta'ala tells them not to do. Or they can't do anything that Allah does not allow them to do. Okay, this is something that the angels are literally ordained, or they are not ordained to do. Right, and so So what do they do, right? Another narration actually in the Quran, it says that, you know, praise be to Allah, right? Alhamdulillah, creator of the heavens and the earth, okay? Who made angels messengers with 2, 3, 4 pairs of wings. And so another narration in the Quran says that the angels have wings, right? So maybe if you heard in your lifetime that angels have wings, right? Angels have beautiful wings that are vast and majestic. This is actually true. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually are narrated to have wings. The angels of Allah actually have wings. Now, are their wings the wings that we imagine in our own minds? Are their wings like the wings of birds or the wings of, like, you know, a unicorn? I don't know, like, what kind of animal or fake animal that we've conjured up in our heads, but, like, their wings are not like anything that we can fathom, right? There's a narration that actually said, and in this ayah in the Quran, in Surah 35, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually says that we have created angels messengers with 2, 3, 4 pairs of wings, which means that angels don't, they're not all the same. Angels are not all the same. Some of them have 2 pairs of wings. Some of them have 3 pairs of wings. Some of them have 4 pairs of wings. Angels are all created differently. They all have different ranks and different positions that they basically have to fulfill. And there are ranks in terms of angels. Some of the angels are greater than other angels, right? And this is the reality with even people, right? There are people on this earth that are, in the eyes of Allah, much more righteous and closer to him than other people. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is over and over and over again narrated to have been the best of all mankind. There is no human being better than him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says who's better, who's best after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the other prophets, right? The other prophets who came before him. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, right? Yusuf alayhi salam, Dawood, Sulaiman, right? Prophet Noah, Prophet Adam, Prophet Idris, Prophet Hud, all these, Sulaiman, all these different prophets are prophets that were called the best of mankind, okay? And then who's best after them? The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Khadija radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha, the companions Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Abdurrahman ibn Awf, Salman al-Farisi, all these beautiful companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just like there are ranks in righteousness of people, there are also ranks in the greatness of the malaika, in the greatness of the angels, okay? And so some of them have been created with 2 pairs of wings, some of them with 3, some of them with 4. And now we're going to, inshallah, talk a little bit about the names of certain angels that we know. But what do the angels actually in reality do? The angels bring messages. The angels are described as messengers of Allah. Just like we have messengers, human beings, we have the Prophet Muhammad. The angels are all categorized as messengers of subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are categorized. Now, I want you guys to tread very lightly with the word message, okay? The word message, malak, means messenger, okay? Messages can be in very, very different, right? We think of messages. I want you guys to kind of close your eyes and picture this in your head right now. When message, right, you think of like something written out on a piece of paper or something typed out in an email or something written out in a book. But messages can be in different forms, right? A message can be sent visually. A message can be bodily kind of, you know, sent by, like, within your body language, right? For example, if my sister or my brother is really happy with me, they'll come and hug me. They might not even say anything, right? They may not even say it like, I'm so happy right now, or I'm feeling good right now. My brother will just come out and he'll hug me, right? But if my sister or my brother is having a bad day, they may not really come out and just like wrap their arms around me. They'll just kind of like be in the corner and just kind of like sit like this. So messages can be transmitted in several different ways. And so the angels, the malaika, they are messengers, not like the messengers that we have as human beings, like the Prophet ﷺ or Ibrahim or Musa or Isa, but they are different types of messengers, okay? And so, but at the end of the day, they are messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, when the Prophet ﷺ first received his first message, right? His first message, what happened to him? He was meditating in the cave of Hira, Ghari Hira in the mountain of light, and he was meditating, trying to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by disconnecting with his stress and anxiety and daily worldly life. And a being came behind him and squeezed him and said, "Iqra, iqra, iqra." And then he says, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." Read or recite in the name of your Lord that created you. Right? And so because of this, Angel Jibreel alayhi salam was a messenger to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, telling him to read. Okay? There's another beautiful example in this that I don't know how many of you guys have actually heard about this, but this is one of the most beautiful, and a lot of scholars, they actually say this is like the mother of the hadith. Like Umm al-Hadith, right? The mother of all hadith. And this hadith is called Hadith Jibreel. Hadith Jibreel. And long hadith short, right? Rather replace a long story short, because hadith are not technically stories, because there's a lot of lessons and wisdom within them. And so Hadith Jibreel, it says that, you know, a man came, right? And this is narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh. He says, while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day there appeared before us a man dressed in extremely white clothing. Extremely white clothing. Like he was dressed in all white. Okay. And he had very, very black hair. Very black hair. He was dressed in all white. He had very jet black hair, and no traces of journey were visible on him. No traces of journey, no traces of travel were visible on him. Okay. And none of us knew who he was. And he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put his knees against the knees of the Prophet, and he put his hands on the thighs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, "What is Islam?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined what Islam was. And he goes, "Good, sadaqt. What is Iman?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described what Iman is. And then he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "What is Ihsan?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described what Ihsan is, right? He says, Ihsan, He said Ihsan is worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you can see him. And although you cannot see him, understand that he sees you, right? And after he says this is truth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he turns to his companions and he says, "Oh, my companions, do you know who that was? Do you know who that was?" And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they say, قلت الله ورسوله أعلم, that Allah and His Messenger know best. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. Subhanallah, he says, that was Jibreel. فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم, that it was Jibreel who came to you to teach you your religion. And so this proves a couple of things. That the angels, number one, like we said, are messengers of Allah. They come to teach. They come to teach. And sometimes they come to teach the prophets of Allah, right? We know that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam several times to teach him bits and pieces of the Quran, or to reveal to him through himself from Allah bits and pieces of the Quran. And number two, we know from this is that angels can take forms of other things. Angels have the ability to take forms of other things, right? Umar ibn al-Khattab said that when Jibreel came to us, he looked like a man, an extremely striking man, right? He was extremely handsome. He was cloaked in all white. His hair was jet black, okay? And he had no trace of travel on him. And the Prophet says, "You know who that was?" And they said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." And he goes, "That was Jibreel. That was Jibreel who came to teach you about your religion." So what are some of the names of the angels that we know of? There are an insurmountable amount of angels that are mentioned in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kingdom. But what are some of their names? Let's talk about some of them. Number one, the first angel that we have to talk about is the Archangel Gabriel, okay? The angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam is notably known to be Allah's greatest angel that he ever created. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And we already talked a little bit about the hadith of Jibreel, right? When he came down to teach the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a little bit of Islam. There's another narration in the Quran that says, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ رُوحُ الْأَمِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed the Quran is the revelation of the Lord of the Lord of the worlds. The trustworthy spirit has brought it down. Nazala bihi ruhu ruhul amin. that the angel Jibril alayhi salam brought it down. And actually, angel Jibril, fun fact here, so if any of you guys ever read any sort of Quran that has these words in it, you know that it's referring to angel Jibril. When Allah refers to ruh in the Quran, you know, and another part of this, you know, another example of this is tanazzalu al-mala'ikatu war-ruhu fiha bi-idhni rabbihim min kulli amr. This is actually in Surah Al-Qadr, where Allah says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَ, the angels descend upon the earth on the night of Laylatul Qadr. وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. And the ruh, the spirit, descends in front of them. Like, he is the leader of the angels. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. That the spirit, the ruh of the angels is Angel Jibril. He's the greatest of all of them. Okay, so Angel Jibril is notably the greatest of all the angels. Number two is an angel by the name of Mikael. Mikael is actually the one who is entrusted with the sustenance of creatures. Okay, he is extremely compassionate about the sustenance of human beings. He's very, very compassionate and merciful about the creation of mankind. Okay, he is entrusted with the sustenance of creatures. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is known to have put Angel Mikael on a very, very high pedestal of importance, right behind Angel Jibril. Another angel in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the angels who record everything that we do on our right and our left. The angels who record everything we do on our right and our left. It's actually said that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Fatihah, it says, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. It says, and indeed appointed to each one of you are keepers, hafidhin. They're like memorizers. They're like preservers, okay? كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. They're noble and they're recording, okay? يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know whatever you do. So there are two angels that are appointed to each and every single one of us that are called the recording angels. And they write down kiram and katibin. They are noble, kiram and katibin, and they record everything down that we do in a day, in our lives, in a minute, in an hour, in our year. They record everything that we do. Another angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an angel known as Malikul Maut. An angel known as Malikul Maut, or the angel of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Okay, it says, say the angel of death will take you when he is set over you and will take your souls and you shall be returned to your Lord. So we know from this ayah that the angel of death is an angel that is actually supposed to take your soul away from you when you pass away. There's a really interesting narration that when Prophet Musa alayhi salam, actually this is something I love remembering, is that when Prophet Musa alayhi salam was visited by the angel of death, Prophet Musa, he slapped the angel of death in the face. This is like the amazing, amazing abilities that Allah has given his anbiya, his messengers of human trait. And he loved Musa alayhi salam so much. And so when Musa alayhi salam, it was time for Musa alayhi salam to pass away. Musa saw Malikul Maut. He saw Malikul Maut, the angel of death, and he slapped him. He punched him straight in the face. He's like, no, you get away from me right now. I'm not ready to go yet. And so the angel of death was narrated to have gone back to Allah. And he tells Allah, he says, Ya Allah, I went to your servant. I went to your messenger to take his soul away. And he struck me in the face. What do I do? And so he went back to Musa and told him that I'm the angel of death to come and take you away. And so he asked him, he says, what will happen if I'm given more years? And he says, what happens after that? And the angel of death tells him that I'll still come and collect your soul. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam said, khalas, I'm ready to go now. But in the first meeting, Prophet Musa, straight up, auntie style, butter and toast, jam and toast, like straight up smack him in the face. Another narration of Malikul Maut is that Prophet Idris alayhi salam was the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who met the angel of death in the heavens. Okay, he met the angel of death in the heavens. Prophet Idris was raised in extremely high status, and one of the blessings of Prophet Idris was that he was given the blessing of getting all the reward for every one of his people during the time. So every good deed that one of his people would do, he would get the reward of that good deed multiplied for him, for himself. And so when the angel of death was told to take Prophet Idris's life, Prophet Idris actually, he had another friend who was an angel of his. Actually, Prophet Idris was known to have an angel friend. And so Prophet Idris told his friend who was an angel, he says, let's go visit Malik al-Maut in the heavens. And we'll talk to him about how I want to extend my life. And so he rode upon the back of his friend that was an angel. And he met Malik al-Maut in the fourth heaven. And he said, Malik al-Maut said, I was ordered by Allah to take the soul of Prophet Idris alayhi salam today. And he says, well, where is Idris? And he goes, Idris is on my back. And so Malik al-Maut, he goes, subhanallah, Allah ta'ala told me today that I would be taking the soul of Prophet Idris in the heavens, and I had no idea how I was going to do that until you brought Idris to the fourth heaven. And so Malik al-Maut has a lot of conversation with different prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another couple of narrations of really, really amazing nature about the angels is there are also angels, you know, known as Ridwan and Malik. Ridwan is the angel that guards heaven. His name was Ridwan. He is literally the caretaker of the heavens. His name is Ridwan. And the angel who guards hellfire, his name is Malik. There's a narration about Malik that when the Prophet ﷺ was touring the heavens with Angel Jibril, he saw Malik literally with his own eyes. He saw Malik, the angel that guards the hellfire. He was standing in front of hellfire. And he goes, every being I saw in the heavens, Prophet ﷺ is saying this, he says, every being I saw in the heavens has smiled to me and said, Assalamu alaikum, except Malik. Except Malik, the angel that guards hellfire. And the Prophet turned to Jibril and he says, Ya Jibril, why did he not smile at me? And Angel Jibril, alayhi salam, he says, Allah has not created the angel Malik with the ability to smile because his job is to guard the worst creation that has ever been created, which is hellfire. Subhanallah, y'all. It's crazy, right? Another couple of narrations, there's angels who are basically guardians of us, right? Angels who guard us everywhere that we go. This is another narration from the narrations of the angels, the Malaika. There are endless narrations about the different angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guardian angels. But one very beautiful narration is this. What is the prime objective of an angel? The prime objective of an angel is to be a messenger of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an objective of the angels to protect you and me, to protect people like you and me. If you think about this, there are four angels that are assigned to every human being and only one devil. There are four angels that are assigned to every human being and only one devil. Two of the recorder angels who write everything that we do, good or bad, and two guardian angels that protect us everywhere we go with the command and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everything that angels do are bi-idhni rabbihim, with the permission of their Lord. That's it. Angels cannot do anything besides what was given permission to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. And so the angels, number one, are messengers of Allah. And number two, they are guardians of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created upon this earth. Now, the point of reflection I want everyone to think about before we end our session today is understand that these are all references, the descriptions of the angels, their names, what they do, their magnificence, their power. It's all a reference to the amazing being that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has the power to create things seen and unseen. That's the power of God. He has the ability to create things that are seen and unseen. And to a lot of us, angels are like magnificent, right? They're divine, they're powerful, they're huge, right? I've heard narrations of Angel Jibril alayhi salam having hundreds and thousands of wings, right? But imagine this, if the angels are creations that have that much power and that much magnificence, could you only imagine how amazing their creator really is, right? Like Angel Jibril alayhi salam, when he spans his wings, it covers the horizon. Angel Jibril alayhi salam, when he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet felt like fainting. Imagine the magnitude and the power of the one who created these angels. All of these descriptions, the names, the details that we know of all these angels, just a reference back to how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That's it. That's all it is. A lot of people get carried away by the details and the descriptions of the angels. They're amazing. They're beautiful. They're awe-inspiring. but always allow it to lead you to reflect back to the power and the ability of Allah. You know, because the angels to us seem intimidating, right? Wow, my God, Jibril is really that big, right? There's an angel that guards the heaven and the hellfire. SubhanAllah. But imagine how powerful the one who created all these angels really is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Think about how awe-inspiring Allah ta'ala really is. So we'll wrap up our session with that today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reflect over the beauty of His creation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who are inspired by the creation of Allah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow the angels to protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow the angels to be on our side. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow these angels to be friends of us, be protectors of us, to be people, to be beings who watch over us. And there's one last kind of narration that I always wanted to share with people, which is really, really amazing, that there are actually a set of angels that are assigned to welcome people to Jannah. This is in the Quran. There's a set of angels that are assigned to be at the door, at the gates of heaven, when believers enter paradise. And in the Quran, it is said that the angel shall enter onto them from every gate, saying, "Salamu alaykum, may peace be upon you, for that you preserve, that you persevered in patience. Excellent indeed is the final home." These angels will be saying that to you all as you enter paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all that experience. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu wa khairan. Thank you guys so much for attending today. We hope that everybody learned something. We hope that everyone reflected over the beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will see you guys again on Monday for another session from the five series. And we'll be tackling another element and category of our belief as believers. And may Allah Ta'ala accept from us and bless all of you guys. We love you guys for the sake of Allah. Keep us in your du'as. And we'll see you guys inshallah ta'ala on Monday. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.